Hi, good morning, my brother and sister in Town North. I'm so glad to be here one more time, and we are able to look at the God's Word together. I'm so pleasure for MBU that Brother Imad shared with me. I remember my father's that almost 14 years ago when I began to read the Scripture and Bible, he said to me that, why you read this book? Because everyone who read this one, they will be converted to Christianity. I told him that, no, I will not never be Christian. I wanted to knowing that what they believe. And now, 14 years later, I'm here as a Christian. Praise the Lord. As a Reformed church, and according to our tradition in Reformed church and Reformed theology, we believe that both all of the Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, points to the Jesus Christ and talking about Him. The Bibles, these papers, in itself is not the Word of God. The Word of God is a person that we hear from Him and about Him in John 1:1, that the Bible said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Scripture exists to lead us to Christ, the living Word of God, and from Him alone we receive our spiritual life. God chose Israel because of His love. God's purpose in choosing Israel was for them to be a model nation to other nations, and that through them all the families of the earth would be blessed. He wanted Israel be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. But something happened. They could not complete their mission. In our passage today in Gospel of Luke, Jesus declared our important principles about His kingdom. So many people imagine that they are on the right path to eternal life, but they may not be at all. They are wasting their life and time. Each one of us needs to grasp, wrestle, strive, and come away with a clear understanding of this principle that guides us to approach to the Jesus Christ as the Word of God and living in His presence and kingdom forever. In this passage, Jesus shows us people have misunderstanding about their relationship with God. We will see who will be in the kingdom of God, how we can enter into the kingdom of God, how long we have time to enter in the kingdom of God, and we commend it to great commission. First, let me read this, our text from Luke 13, verses 22 to 13. This is the word of God. He went on His way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. And someone said to Him, Lord, will those who are saved be few? And He said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, open to us. Then He will answer you, I do not know where you come from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But He will say, I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you works of evil. In that place there will be a weeping and gnashing of teeth. When you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourself cast out. And people will come from east and west and from north and south and recline at table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we have read and heard these words countless times in the past, and each time that we hear them, our souls are pierced by their beauty and by their truth, and by the promise that we hear from you in these words. Thank you, Lord, because you give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Please, Lord, give us an understanding of your words by the illumination of the Holy Spirit, who is indeed the Spirit of truth. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Just for a background, in this passage, the audience are the Jewish people, the people who chose by God that I mentioned before, but they are failed in their mission, and sadly, they thought they are completed. This passage begins with verse 22. It's about Jerusalem. The scripture says, then Jesus went through the town and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is Jesus' objective as he moves through the town and villages and to the Judean hills. On his way toward the city of the temple, the early part of his ministry was spent in Galilee, but a few chapters before, at Luke 9:51, a scripture said an important shift of focus is happened for Jesus. It said, when the days drew near me for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. He doesn't go there immediately, but now he leaves Galilee and begins an itinerant ministry in Judea, heading over closer to the city of his destiny. The first important principle for the kingdom of God is who will be saved and able to enter into the kingdom of God. Here the crowd followed him and followed Jesus and started to realize that the teaching of the rabbis were in direct contrast to the teaching of Jesus concerning the issue of eternal salvation. And someone asked him, Lord, will those who are saved be few? In the context, it was a common belief among the Jewish people that all Israelites would be saved. Jesus explained to people that salvation does not come to the nation, but to individuals who make personal decision to follow him. According to God's covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the rabbis taught that the God was offering salvation to all those who were born of the physical seed of Abraham forever and ever. It was right, but that the gift of salvation was confirmed by the symbol of circumcision and maintained by the works of the law of the Moses. They saw it as a national salvation, but they forgot it that all the Old Testament point to Messiah, who must become into the world and restore them. Jesus came along and taught over and over that his Father offers salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in himself alone, as the promised Messiah. The Jews' leadership of our Lord's day continued to reject him. They loved to debate the question of whatever many or few would be saved. But Jesus would not be drawn into their debate. And Jesus changed their question to this: are you saved? Each one of us must be asked this question from each other or from ourselves, that are we saved? We often wonder about the other people, the salvation of other people. But in Jesus' reply, he points back to the only person's salvation and asks, are you yourself saved? There are going to be many people who want to enter to the kingdom of God, who wants to be saved, that they are not going to be able. Why? Because they have not believed that Jesus is the Messiah. They rejected him. In first step, Jesus declared that we need to be careful about our personal relationship with him and accept him and trust in him as our Lord and Savior. Then we have assurance and confidence that we saved. Otherwise, we earn nothing. But what do you think? Blessed are those people in the church who knows they are sinners and they need Savior. If not, today is the day of salvation. You are not here accidentally or by any chance. Just you need to trust in Jesus and come before him humbly. Tomorrow morning at 5:27 a.m., we have the New Year of Iranian, almost around 200 million people in Asia, Central of Asia, include the Iranian, Afghan, Tajik, Turk people. They're celebrating the New Year. We call it Nowruz. Nowruz means new day. So every day for us as a Christian is a Nowruz, is a new day in Christ. We are new creation in Christ. The second important principle for the kingdom of God is how we can enter to the kingdom of God. Someday a man told me he thought getting to heaven was like flying in an airplane. I could fly by American Airlines, he could fly by Delta, others, you can fly by Northwest Airlines, but we would all get in the same destination. Does not that seem logical? Absolutely, is that true? But I told him, when you got an airline, you could never be 100% certain it would arrive at the destination. It could be diverted by the weather, hijacked, mechanical problem, or even crash. But I told him, I'm booked to fly on Jesus Airlines, then it is the only one in the universe with 100% the time of arrival record. For us, insist there is just one way to heaven seems too narrow-minded in the age of enlightenment. Some people believe that for each nation, God bring their own prophet in their language and in their culture. But look at his words again in verse 24. Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Jesus didn't speak of different doors or different airliners or different ways. He didn't say, enter through one of the narrow doors. He spoke of the only one narrow door. Other passages in Scripture confirms there is only one way to heaven, to presence of God. In John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, let me misquote this verse to the way that most folks believe. They thinking Jesus said, I am the one of the way, or even the best way, part of the truth, and one kind of life. No one comes to the Father unless they are religious, good, kind, and sincere in whatever is they believe. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the Lord. I am the door. No one can come to Father except through me. Let me share this story with you all. Many years ago, a young Muslim man who had frustrated from his life, God, religious, and everything, had walked in the street. He neither believed in anything. He heard about Jesus for almost 3 months, but he did not believe in Jesus. One day, he was walking in the street and said, Jesus, I don't know who you are, but I hear for 3 months about you. If you are existing, if you are alive, if you hear my voice, just show me a sign. When he continues to walking and turned his face, he saw a big sign on the wall of one church. The sign was a verse from John 14:6 that Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And the young man was laying down and praying and said, Jesus, indeed, this is the sign for me that you are the way, truth, and life. I want to trust and believe in you. And he gave his life to the Jesus. I am that young man. I'm younger, still younger. But that time I was younger than this time. But 14 years, I proclaimed that Jesus is the only way and the truth and the life. Jesus said, He Himself is the only way. The way to reach to this door is narrow. The understanding of this narrow gate or door is clearly seen in the words of Jesus when he warned his disciple in John 10. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is the thief and robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. I am the door of the sheep. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Our Lord warned the people in Luke 13:24, For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, God says, He set eternity in our heart. But sinful man keeps turning within himself and trying to figure out a multitude of ways to get into the eternity. One Sanger writer wrote, Everybody wants to get to heaven, but no one wants to die. Humankind seek to create religious group and design a plan of their salvation without going through the Jesus Christ. As a Christian, what we believe? We believe there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. The people were hoping that by keeping the law and doing good works, they would be able to enter into the kingdom of God and have eternal life automatically. But here our Lord was warning them that their way would keep them from entering the gate of the salvation. They are not be able to get in. What are you thinking about this? Do you believe that Jesus is the only way, truth, and life? Praise God for you if you believe in this statement. But if you are still thinking that you are trying to find your own way or believe in anyone or anything other than Jesus Christ who came to this world to save you, I have to say they are preventing you to be in the kingdom of God. One day will come that Jesus will judge everything. So you have still time. Please trust in Jesus and accept him as only the way, truth, and life. Jesus, he himself is the narrow gate that guides all of us to the kingdom of God. And without him, we will try to enter and will not be able to. The third important principle for the kingdom of God is how long we have time to the kingdom of God, to enter to the kingdom of God. When the time for the banquet arrives, then the Lord gave them a terrible picture. Once the head of the house gets up and shuts the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock on the door, saying, Lord, open up to us. Then he will answer and say to you, I do not know where you are from. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only head of this house. And there is coming a day when the wonderful invitation to accept him as our personal Lord and Savior will be over. And he will get up of his throne and close the narrow door of salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one. We have to be clear of this one. We have not any other head. In the parables of the 10 wise virgins and the 10 foolish virgins in Matthew chapter 25, the bridegroom came when no one expected him. And 10 wise virgins with their lamp full of oil were able to enter into the kingdom of God in the wedding feast. And the door was shut. And later, The other version, who had to go and purchase oil for their lamp because they were not ready, also came saying, Lord, Lord, open up for us. But he answered and said, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert. Then you do not know the day nor the hour of the closing the door. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. Some of these folks may have been guests at our Lord's two picnic in which he fed the 5,000 and 4,000 with the loaves and fishes. Others may have stood and listened to him and his teaching in the cities and villages in Galilee, Samaria, Perea, and Judea. But the fact is that the salvation is never based on a casual relationship with Jesus at the Sunday picnic or just listening to him in an open market. Jesus illustrated that the personal confession and repentance of sin, belief in his birth, death, and resurrection for our sin, and ascension to the right hand of the Father is the requirement of salvation. He would say to those in the church in Laodicea, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him, and he with me. If any one of us has heard the Lord Jesus knocking on the door of his heart and refused to open the door, then one day he will hear the most frightening words in the universe that directed to him personally. I tell you, I do not know where you are from. Depart from me. Now, do you see why he recommended us to strive? He wants us to strive not just only for our salvation, because salvation coming from God. We cannot do anything to save our life. But we need to strive against the notion that we design for ourselves to getting into the kingdom of God by some kind of philosophy and religion. But I beg you today, if you are here and you're thinking that you follow any way other than Jesus Christ, this is a day of salvation and no rules for you. If you are a follower of any kind of philosophy or religion other than the crucified Jesus, today is the day of no rules for you. Just you need to come humbly before God, repentance your sin, and let him to be your God and Lord and your Savior. Fourth important principle of the kingdom of God is the Great Commission that we read in Matthew chapter 28. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were the recipients of God's covenant, and they symbolize Israel's nation identity. In the Exodus, God delivered the Israelites because of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Most Jews of Jesus' day counted on their privileged position as descendants of Abraham to gain them entrance to the God's kingdom. But Jesus teaches that the salvation is a matter of personal faith, not of being born into a nation, a family, or even church. Jesus is being very transparent about his messianic ministry. He is issuing an urgent call to Israel to respond in repentance and enter to the kingdom of God. Those who refuse him will be shut out of the messianic banquet, and door of salvation would close. According to Matthew chapter 8, verses 11 to 12, they would be able to see a great banquet being given, and they would be shocked by two things they saw. First, they would see all the spiritual fathers of their nation, and they would not be able to figure out why the father were invited to the banquet and they were not. Second, the people they would never have expected to see in the kingdom of God were the hated Gentiles, But sure enough, there would be Gentiles from east and west, from north and south. And they would recline at the table in the kingdom of God. And some are the last, some are last, who will be first? And some are first, who will be last? A common Old Testament image of the establishment of kingdom of God is that the nation will stream to Jerusalem to worship God. Isaiah 2:2 said, "It shall come to pass in the later days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it." Isaiah 55:5 says, "Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and the nation that did not know you shall run to you. Because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you." In Isaiah, that image is combined with the messianic banquet. Jesus makes a shocking point that even if many Israelites are excluded, the Gentile nations will be full participants in the blessing of the kingdom. In the immediate context, our Lord was addressing the Jewish community. But in fact, all those who are rejected Jesus as their Messiah and their Savior on earth would come to realization that the door of salvation had finally been closed on them. They were being cast out of the kingdom of God, and they were going to be eternally separated from the God who had given the life and opportunities to invite Jesus to become their personal Messiah that would have resulted in their salvation. Our response to the light of the gospel will define our eternal place. At this moment in time, our risen Lord continues to hold open the door of salvation to all who are willing to invite him into their hearts to become their personal Lord and Savior, whether they be Jew or Gentile, and we don't know who they are. After our Lord's resurrection, he gave his disciple what we now call the Great Commission. "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded to you, and I am with you always." And then he told them on another occasion in Acts, just before he ascension to the right hand of the Father, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth." Dear brothers and sisters, it is not wrong to want people to come to Christ. Not wrong to want people to embrace Christ. It is not wrong to give an invitation. It's right to do that. That's what we are supposed to do. Jesus was always calling sinners to his kingdom, and the apostle went and preached the gospel and called people to come into the kingdom. And the whole New Testament tells us our mandate is to go into all the world and call people to salvation and the kingdom of God. And this is Great Commission is for us. We must accomplish it. Let's to pray. Jesus, our Lord, as we gather together to learn about you, may you meet us here. Lord, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Thank you that we can live in your light and walk in your truth. We testify that we save only in you. You are the narrow gate. And you, Jesus Christ, is the only way, truth, and life. you still hold open the door of salvation, and you ask from us as your servant to invite people to your heavenly banquet. May the things that we have revealed, you have revealed and taught, that we have shared, dwell in our hearts and steer us to action. We would love to be your witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the end and to the end of the earth. We ask all this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.